Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we bless you this morning. We continue to thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you. Bless everyone, Lord, that was part of this, and even those that weren't a part of it, they're yours, Lord. But then, Father, the blessing part is tacked onto a place of stewardship, that, Lord, you continue to sow, that where you continue, Lord, to bring forth past just provision, just because, Lord, there is a want to inside the heart to give beyond provision, or to give because of the provision, rather. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to help us to steward these things in which you've given us, and we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you. We bless this time. We pray that for whatever time that we have remaining in this service, that Christ will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords through our actions and through our words and through everything. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No notes, nothing. Just I do have a Bible in front of me. Praise you, Jesus. How can you say, where can you start on everything that is so wonderful as resurrection? I mean, it's in our hearts. It's if we went home now, that's it. We're going to have to, you know, before the service is over, you guys are going to have to come back up here, and we're going to have to worship a little bit more. Because Easter should be just, the main thing of Easter should be worship. Really, words at some point just fail us. They're not enough. Because you and I were destined to an eternity without God. We were destined to hell, to torment. And Homer was the biggest sinner of us all. I love it. He's my main man. He's gonna tear it up here. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you were prior. Now, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I can tell you this. I was brought to church from a little kid, and I had a real, you know, from an early age, I had a drug problem. I really did. I got drugged on Sunday morning to church. I got drugged on Sunday night to church, and I got drugged on Wednesday night to church, and then when we had revival meetings, I got drugged to, you know, the kids used to, like, oh, they got to stay home and do their homework. There's no way possible. We slept under the pews, under the seats, or you did your homework in church. Amen. I don't think the drug, and the other thing too, we had just wonderful, it was such peace. You know, parents create chaos because they allow a certain level of discussion. If you just clear the air, and then it's not debatable. Mama just had a clear understanding with me, and I totally got it. She said, I'll kill you. I'll beat you within an inch of your life. If you don't sit still and don't do what I'll kill you. And I could, you know, little kid, you're thinking, Mama, she loves me, but she'll kill me. Or she'll beat me within an inch. What's an inch of your life? I don't know what an inch. And I was like, I could settle down in that. I could settle down in, like, there was no debate. And if I got too, you know, like, debateful, then she had a big 6 foot, 200 something pound man that's like, I very seldom ever got one from him, but I could remember it for decades. For decades. It was like, all she had to say was, boy, if you don't stop that pouting, I'm going to go tell your daddy. See, it's criminal now when they tell you, and Daddy had a big cowboy belt. It didn't take but about three of those. You know, you don't hit somebody in the face. You don't. But God Almighty, in His wonderful, infinite wisdom, put booties, them big old chunky cheeks on kids. And them booties are made for popping sometimes. Well, we don't do that at our home. I know, I can tell. I can tell. And you get that understanding, and you know, you might not need two or three of those in your whole life, but it's enough to put the fear of God. Amen. Glory be to God. How'd you get on that? I'm not really sure, but it had to be edifying for somebody. Hallelujah. But His glory is here among us, and we are on the precipice of the greatest outpouring since the book of Acts. The kingdom of God has already come. We can't recreate that. It's already been delivered. It's just been buried through false doctrine for decades and for centuries, really. The first stage of our assignment for the last 25 years has been to teach sound doctrine. Now, that's a cornerstone in our church, and that will never leave. Now, sound doctrine is taking us to a place of presence, a place where presence begins to reveal the truth of everything that sound doctrine is. It's not mechanics under presence. And for presence to come, you have to court Him. You can't fall in love with somebody just over the phone or just on a computer. If you do, that's not real love. You've got to see them at least from time to time. You've got to touch them from time to time. And now we're entering into another phase of our church and our ministry, and that is a presence phase. And this is the one, really, that's going to bring the fullness of miracles and revival, because He's alive. He's alive. And our approach to evangelism, you don't walk into that store and tell that man behind the counter that gives you access, you don't tell him that He's alive through a mechanical 1-2-3 Roman road kind of presentation. He's got to feel the presence. She's got to feel the presence of God. See, this resurrected Jesus is, He's not only alive there, He's alive here inside of us. And just your testimony of what He's done for you, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. His testimony. Christ has come, He's died, and He's risen again. And the proof of it is that you have been changed. Glory be to God. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, in other words, if you've got a testimony that says, I'm a Christian, the word says, let them depart from iniquity. The church has lost its testimony. It's absolutely lost its testimony. There's no wow about Christ when they give a testimony that you're sitting there slugging the beer with them, and they're slugging the beer, and you're cursing and they're cursing. There's no separation. There's a difference. And I'm not talking about a staunch holiness. I'm talking about one that's lived out in righteousness. They can see that guy's different. That girl, that woman is different. They love God and they love people. See, if you don't love people, well, I've got a real problem. Listen, 1 John says that if we hate, that we're a murderer. And no murderer has eternal life. The greatest thing that will bring the revival is that last emanation, everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you, is all of His love to you. And then when you get full of His love, there really is a place. Have you totally found it? No, I'm not saying that I have. I've just gotten close enough that I can see it real good, where the word says, the psalmist said, that your word, what word? The word of His grace, the word of His love. That in that word, that there is no offense. You can't live in offense. You can't live in a place where there's something. Not only will miracles draw, not only will love one for another and for him draw in the miracles, it'll also abate them. It'll also hold them back. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can't start loving him without loving everyone. And if you just have one on your bucket list where I can go to everybody in my heart, but I can't, that one pollutes you from everybody else. It's all or none. It's all or none. Well, that's a big assignment. No, it's not. Not when you look in his face. His face. When you know what he's done for you, Jesus. Do you know how wonderful it is to lie down and sleep without torment? To wake up without torment? To not go through the day trying to correct your thoughts, trying to keep yourself just a free flow of peace continually? Where does that happen at? It happens in him, but it happens as you let him love you. And as you love him, what did Pastor Dave used to say? Worship is the part that we give him of our own volition. There is nothing that he can mandate in that. See, you can, I've said this before, you can get to heaven a lot. We teach the gold here, the gold standard. If you want to go to another church that teaches less, many of those churches will get you there. You'll just be crippled inside. You can walk real good, but heaven help if somebody could take a picture of your inward person because you're in a wheelchair. You're crippled. Because there's so many people that you've put in a prison in your mind. And you won't unlock them. But Dave said this. He said, worship was this. The Lord said, I can't. I'll try to remember this. Some of you might have to help me. I can't worship me in you for you. In other words, I can't mandate true worship. That has to be something that comes from you. So we're here to worship him. I hear Acts chapter 2. So why don't you turn there with me for just a moment. And yeah, this is about Pentecost. And yes, it's about power. And yes, it's about and it's about Joel's army. But there's something else that happens in Acts chapter 2, or part of Peter's speech, which is more than a speech. It's a sermon message. You know, they had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus had ascended, and they had just been filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of the nations, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. You have to understand something here, that these 120 had tarried for about 10 days. Then when the Holy Ghost falls, the kingdom of God is birthed here. This is it actually was already in, Jesus had already taught all the message. The kingdom had already been being instituted by Christ. But now, as the apostles were already born of God, in the upper room when he breathed on them, and now the church is about to, they're about to not only receive the baptism, but the fullness of everything of all that the truth of the kingdom is now coming into fullness. It's being birthed in fullness. And for these to all these nations, we won't go into all these nations because I want to skip down a little bit further in this chapter and read something. For all these nations to come and listen to this upper room experience, these guys had to be doing this not a couple of minutes. It had to be going on for, I don't know, hours, 2 or 3 hours or so. It had to gather the city. It was noised abroad in the city. In other words, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have YouTube. They didn't have anything to, they couldn't shoot this out. You couldn't walk by, you know, they didn't have the jumbotrons, you know, like they have in Times Square to say, get down to such and such a place. There is incredible something going on. It was noised abroad. In other words, it carried it kind of somehow it got out in the streets real quick. But everybody started gathering, or everybody being at least 3,000, gathered to that central place, and they were listening. It was not just the people passing by, but it was noised abroad throughout the streets. And so they got there, and they're listening to what's going on. And the word says here that each one of these nations were listening to these people that were Galileans by nature, where they're from. They heard each one of their own languages being spoken. These were Jews that were coming. They could all speak Hebrew probably, but they had gone over to other nations and they were business people there. They were raised there, whatever, but they'd come home and they had come for the Feast of Pentecost. And on this 50th day, it's 50th day from Passover, 50 days means it's Pentecost, word Pentecost. And it was 50 days from Passover, in which Christ was crucified on Passover. The word says that he was with them after his passion about 40 days. So we're speculating about 10 days. He said, go, and they went and they tarried. Well, they were praying, and then the Holy Ghost comes on them, as we just read, these magnificent tornadoes, these tongues of fire, begin to dwell, set on them. They were filled, and they begin to speak with a heavenly language. It wasn't all Hebrews speaking Hebrews. It was all 120 speaking different languages. And so as these men were hearing this, and these women, they begin to testify, they were all amazed in verse 12 and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you wonders in the heavens and above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. They shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determination, counsel, and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holded by it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. Look at this, is Old Testament prophecy. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. That thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. This word right here, as we just read it, this Psalm of David, this promise was made not to David, it was made to Jesus himself. Now David wrote it, but it went far past David. It was a promise from God the Father to God the Son, saying, listen, if you will do this, I will not leave your soul in hell, neither will your flesh see corruption. What a wonderful promise. That's what Jesus held to in the grave. That's what Jesus held to was, Father, if I go through with this, if I give my soul an offering for sin, I'm holding to the promise that you made through another man to me that you would raise me up on the third day and my flesh would not see corruption. Hallelujah. Listen, you've got to understand this. We've said it a million times. I'll say it another million, and Homer will say it 2 million, that Jesus did not live out his life through his deity. He lived it out through his humanity. Ephesians says that he laid, or Philippians says that he laid his humanity down. He became a human being in the sense that he walked in everything that he got past in his sinless life. If you think Jesus got past sin because he was God, then you're cheating yourself and you're in false doctrine. Jesus did not resist sin through his Godship. He's in there, God's in there, but all I can tell you, I don't have it all figured out. I do have this part out, that the God part of him was totally dormant. It was like it was there, but it could not be used. There was an agreement. I don't know how you have an agreement with yourself, but before he left, he had an agreement. As long as I'm in that body that's provided to me by Mary, I'll never reach into deity to get help other than the strength of my Father. I'll go through it, every temptation to be with a woman, every temptation of any kind of evil that could come on my mind. I'll never resist it. Somebody said, well, he was God. That Jesus defeated Satan and he walked sinless because he was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, but that God in the flesh had nothing to do with his sinless life. It was a few times, a few short snippets where he actually showed, like at the end of his life and the Lord's, you know, the end where he said, Father, I'm coming back to you to share with you the same glory that I had with you before the world began. You see that little snippet of him realizing that he's the Son of God. He didn't walk as the Son of God, as in getting past sin. He walked as the Son of Man. He walked as the one who would be one time crucified, and he hung to this absolute that if I go there, listen, his crucifixion, his Garden of Gethsemane experience where Luke says that he sweated great drops of blood, everything that he paid, all of that beginning to come upon him, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Death was starting to come upon him. The word says that he which was without sin, he became sin for us. Do you realize that Jesus died for us, not just physically? He died spiritually. Somebody said, God can't die spiritually. I've already told you, he did not live as God. For all practical purposes, God's over here saying, I can't, the God, whatever you are as God, I can't be a part of it. You're going to have to be, the word says, by one man, Adam, came the fall. And by the last Adam came redemption. God could not come of himself and redeem man back to him. He had to have another man like the first Adam. We've got the last Adam, not the second Adam, but the last Adam. Only a man could redeem man back in. Only a spotless lamb could redeem man back in. If God usurps that authority, then Satan is saying, this is illegal. This is illegal. You can't do this. I didn't tempt you in the garden. I tempted a man. And God says, no, this is not illegal. Because it's not me that's redeeming man. It's a man redeeming man. Amen. Glory to God. He said, it's not possible to leave your soul in hell. The last thing that he realized when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Somebody said he didn't forsake him. It was just he was going through a real trial. He forsook Jesus. The spotless lamb now becomes a one that bears all sin of humanity. Glory. He dies in your place. He doesn't just die physically. He doesn't die physically only. He dies spiritually. Somebody's the age-old argument. God can't die. I didn't say God can die. That man that redeemed us, he died. He died physically and he died spiritually. And he winds up where every person who is destined to hell under the penalty of sin, he winds up in the belly of the earth in sin, in hell. In hell. Oh, Jesus, I want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you held to the promise. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was his separation from God the Father that he dreaded the most. The great drops of blood, this cup that he had to drink, was all of the sin. Now, how can you do that? I don't get that. You can ask me, and I'll say, I don't know. I don't get it, so I can't coin it for you. You're just going to have to accept it. I don't know how God could compress all of the sin of humanity prior to the cross and all sin after the cross, compress it into one spiritual moment and say, I'm putting all of humanity's sin on you at one time. That's incredible. Somebody said, well, he's already forgiven me because he's done that. No, this is the part where greasy grace comes in. Just because that provision was made doesn't mean that you're born again. There's a big difference between you being forgiven. A provision was being made. In other words, if you access it, then you can have the provision. But it wasn't a blanket. It wasn't just done against your will. Like, I don't care if I get it or not. You know, it was provided for, so I'm good. I'm going to go to heaven. No, you're going to go to hell. If you don't, of your own volition, say, I take faith in what he did for me. That's not a blanket provision. That's for the one that will trust in him. Well, he gives up the ghost when he says it's finished. He's not talking about my life's over. He's talking about the redemption's done. It's finished. And can you imagine? No, we can't. There's no way possible. I can't watch. I'll watch it again. I think every once in a while you should watch The Passion of the Christ. Little kids probably know. But it's powerful. I believe it is an anointed movie. Really anointed. But way beyond whatever he did physically, he went to a burning, tormented hell. And the only hope that he had, now, if he would have in the garden called the angels and escaped this, he could have got out of it. It would have been aborted. I don't know what. There's only one Savior, so I don't know. We're done. We're stuck like Chuck. We're done. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know how to get in that discussion. Get out of it. Abraham's bunch, the ones in Abraham's bosom, they're locked up. They can't get out of there. Humanity doesn't get a redeemer. Well, say it couldn't happen. Well, he was tempted. In his humanity, he could have aborted, but he did not abort. So all I can imagine is this man, Christ, our Lord, laying there in the belly of the earth, tormented for 3 days and three nights, and he's holding on to a promise. And the only promise that he has is the one that we just read here, that the Lord said, I will not leave your soul in hell. I'll not leave it there. Glory be to God. Nor will your flesh see corruption. The Jews said on the fourth day that that's why when he comes and he raises Lazarus, they said his flesh is corrupted. It stinketh. There was, after the third day was considered, the flesh was totally corrupt. It was. Hallelujah. And the amazing, here's what's amazing. This is what's amazing. We can't teach it all. Gary did an awesome job when he broke it out of 1 John. But the amazing part is this. How did he get out? How did he get out? Because if he's a sinner now, and he was the lamb, how did he get out? Because now he's... But Hebrews tells us this, by his own blood, he's entered once more into the holy place. Thank God that he shed his blood on the cross, which was a spotless lamb's blood, so that after 3 days, he's got his own redemption to step back into. His own blood brings him back to a place where he's pardoned once again. By the Father. Who thinks of this? Only God can figure this out. Only God can figure that out. It's got to be a man. He's got to be sinless. He can't not commit adultery, because I'm going to help him. I can't help him at any time. Only the born-again nature that he's living in, that power. Somebody said, I did it because, you know, I haven't been praying enough. Are you born again? You're either born again or not born again. If you're born again, you may have did it. You may have done it. But you didn't do it because you haven't been praying enough. You did it because you wanted to. I did it because Satan tempted me. Do you know that he was once an angel and now he's a stripped angel? He doesn't even get, the word tells us in prophecy of the end that the nations will narrowly, means like scoffly, we will narrowly walk by him while he's in the pit when he's bound, and we'll say, I swear to goodness, or goodness gracious, or oh my gosh. That's, we're going to look down descendingly, that's the guy? Seriously? That everybody blamed everything on? That worm down there? And the word tells us that we will be amazed. You know what will be amazed? Is people, they'll think past all their excuses and think, I blame that. It's like my youngest grandchild, he's 10 months old. For me to blame anything on him for my weakness, you're just, Pastor, you're stupid. What's wrong with you? Have you been born again? The glory of who he was. Good thing the blood, it couldn't have happened any other way. While he's on earth, he offers a spotless blood. Blood that is being provided by a man. Somebody said, oh, that's the blood of the, oh my God. It's perfect. But it didn't have little tiny crystals in it like angelic. If you'd put it under a microscope, it's human blood. What makes it perfect is not because it's angelic blood. There was nothing about his body that was angelic or spiritual in that sense of the word. It is the precious blood of the Lamb, but it had all the stuff in it like your blood. It's not supernatural blood. It's human blood. But what made it so wonderful, it was shed by a man that had never sinned. And he did it all. He did it all by the power of the new nature. Glory to God. By the power of the new nature. Now that blood is there, and he needs a way of escape. Via what? His own blood. God says, I'm going to raise you up, son. You got a plan for this, father, because I'm dead as any adulterer in here. I'm spiritually as dead as any murderer in here. God said, yeah, I can raise you up because you didn't go there on your own. Have you got a way? Have you got a plan? Yeah, your own blood. How about that? I'll take it, Father. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Yes, he's worthy. Let's all stand. Glory to God. If you're watching this morning, or if you're in here and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have and you're coming back from a long road of not walking with him, the simplicity of the gospel is this: Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and truly has been resurrected. All you have to do is, not by words alone, but out of the abundance of your heart, ask Christ to come into your life, that you believe that what he did was not just for all humanity in general, you believe it was for you personally. And as you do that, you are asking him and confessing your sins before him. I'm going to pray a prayer. It won't hurt any of us. It won't hurt us all that already know him to pray this. But if you're there watching, wherever you're at, you want to pray this prayer, please pray this prayer with us, and you will be saved today. You will be born again into a new kingdom. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe that Jesus came, and that he died, went to hell. He was buried for me, and he was resurrected for me. Dear Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I confess my sins to you, and I repent of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Come into my life and wash me with your blood. I receive this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.